Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom, and we're getting closer to Christmas. It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. And I guess as a way to pass the Christmas holidays, if you have the time off, is to maybe curl up with a wonderful novel.
Cool.
And the novel we're talking about is Thomas Hardy's Far From the Madding Crowd. Remember, a couple of days ago, we summarized this novel for you. It's, well, kind of a flirtatious love story, mostly about this girl named Bathsheba who lives on her uncle's farm. And all sorts of guys are chasing her, and she's teasing lots of guys.
Oh, she's flirting with everyone, isn't she?
Yep, she's such a hussy. But in the end, the shepherd wins her heart, and they live happily ever after. Then, last time we talked about Thomas Hardy himself. He wrote novels for a while until he wrote a controversial novel, and then he decided to settle into poetry. Today, we're going to return to the novel, however, and talk about some of the ideas in this novel and why we think it's good.
We sure are, like we always do, guys. We're going to read through our entire lesson, and then we'll be back to talk about some of the themes and what Hardy wanted to communicate through his writing.
Hardy uses Far From the Madding Crowd to paint a picture of the demise of agrarian society in England during the Industrial Revolution. Gabriel Oak, a character who deeply loves the land and animals that he tends to, represents mankind's connection to the natural world. Without this connection, Hardy argues, tragedy unfolds. It takes only one night of torrential rain to ruin Boldwood's yearly crops. He is too focused on his infatuation with Bathsheba to properly care for them. Gabriel, on the other hand, races to save Bathsheba's crops from the torrents. It's this resolution to care for the land above all else that is rewarded in the end. Hardy continues with the theme of destruction in his interpretation of love and marriage. Indeed, he was not afraid to explore the darker side of romance in his novels. This is portrayed when Boldwood's desire causes his descent into madness and imprisonment, when Troy betrays his lover to pursue Bathsheba's money, and finally when Bathsheba refuses to marry anyone she doesn't feel passion for. The destructive tendencies of these three characters expose the fickle nature of romantic love, which was often a taboo topic in Hardy's reserved society. The natural progression of life makes up the third theme. Darwin's notion that evolutionary chance influences life more than the hand of God is highly prevalent in Hardy's characters. Take, for instance, Bathsheba's cruel prank on Boldwood or the job she offers to Gabriel when he needs it most. She makes these decisions of her own free will, but there is no rhyme or reason to how the events develop. They progress as chance allows. Hardy's characters, and in his mind, mankind are thus inevitably linked to chance, rather than God's divine intervention.
Okay, let's dive in, guys. We're going to talk about some of the themes and messages in this particular novel, Far From the Madding Crowd. Hardy uses his book to paint a picture of the demise of agrarian society in England during the Industrial Revolution. I talked about the Industrial Revolution in our earlier program. This was a period of time, especially in England, more so in England than even in America, where people were moving into the city and taking up jobs in factories because we had invented machines at that point in our history and humankind's history. So people were coming in from the farm. So if you paint a picture of something, you're showing a little bit of a slice of life, you could say, by using your words to paint the picture rather than just, you know, paint or oil colors to paint a real picture. The demise of something, the demise typically refers to someone's death. You could talk about the character's demise or tragic demise. They're talking about someone dying. Here we're talking about a society. So the end of a society, you could say. An agrarian refers to farming and crops and how people used to live on farms. Agrarian society refers to how we used to live before the invention of machines.
Mm-hmm. Living in rural areas and living on farms and stuff and how it affected our lives. Yes, we're talking about the demise of agrarian society, the fall of farms. Basically, things have changed. That happened during the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
When they were starting to build factories and produce things like cars and machines and stuff like that. And Gabriel Oak, a character who deeply loves the land and animals that he tends to, represents mankind's connection to the natural world. So he's kind of a down-to-earth guy there. He lives off the land. He's close to the land. And, yeah, he's got a kind of interesting name there, Gabriel Oak, which is a kind of tree, actually. He deeply loves the land. He has no desire to move to London or Manchester.
No.
He also loves his sheep and his cows and whatever whatever else he's tending to. That's what we use here as the verb phrase, to tend to. You can tend to different things. It basically means to take care of something.
Yeah, I had a friend growing up that used to always say, I have to tend my brothers and sisters. I used a different phrase. I would say, I have to babysit my brothers and sisters. I was the older sister in the family. She was too, but she would always say tend. I have to tend them.
Tend?
Yeah.
Just tend, not tend to?
Nope, she would just say, I have to tend them. So tend to means you look after something or someone, take care of them. So he was really attached to the land and to his animals. So without this connection, Hardy argues, tragedy unfolds. Remember, he loses his sheep and has all of that tragedy in his own life where he had looked like he was going to have a pretty good life, and then he lost his sheep. So that's when the tragedy unfolds. If something in a novel unfolds, it means it happens little by little, so it progresses slowly so you can see how it works out. It takes only one night of torrential rain to ruin Boldwood's yearly crops, so he has some tragedy as well. Remember, Boldwood was the one who kind of ignored Bathsheba until he eventually fell in love with her, and then she kind of ignored him. So,
yeah, they're playing games with each other.
I would say that's true. Torrential rain refers to rain that comes down really, really hard. We often get torrential rain when we have typhoons come.
Yeah, actually, I've heard the term haoyu here in Taiwan. You could say torrential rain. There's going to be torrential rain in the mountains as a result of the typhoon or whatever. So, yes, that rain ruins his crops, his yearly crops, the ones he plants every year. And he is too focused on his infatuation with Bathsheba to properly care for them. So I guess Hardy is suggesting that if Boldwood was a better farmer and took better care of his crops, he may not have lost everything in those torrential rains, but he was too infatuated with Bathsheba. If you're infatuated with something, or if you have infatuation with something, that means you just have this really intense passion for somebody. It's usually kind of short-lived. It doesn't last for a long time.
True.
It's kind of like an obsession, but he has this infatuation with her. He can only think of the girl next door.
Gabriel, on the other hand, we're comparing these two guys. Here's the difference between Gabriel and Boldwood. He races to save Bathsheba's crops from the torrents. Torrents here just means the heavy rains as they're coming down. So he's a sweetie pie. He loves Bathsheba too, but he's a good guy. And he is more concerned about her well-being than just his own crush on her. If you have a crush on someone, it's not quite as being, it's not as bad as being obsessed. You like them. They're so cute. You're happy to see them. Well, it's this resolution or determination, you could say, to care for the land above all else that is rewarded in the end. So he goes and tries to help Bathsheba save her farm, her crops. Your crops are the things that you've planted that you want to harvest later. You could have corn crops and cotton crops and wheat crops, different things you've planted that you harvest later in the season. Well, he wants to help take care of her crops so she doesn't lose them. If you have a resolution to do something, it's like a very, very strong promise or determination to do something. You don't want to let someone down, even yourself. You don't want to let yourself down either.
Exactly. And just a few days, some of you might be making your New Year's resolution. As 2016 comes upon us, you might want to make some promises to yourself. Oh, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, or I'm going to work out every day, or I'm going to quit smoking, or I'm not going to be so mean to my employees in the office, or something like that. And hey, this is really nice because the nice guy actually wins in the end. They always say nice guys finish last, you know, but here the nice guy wins. But yeah, it's a cute sentiment, but I think we all know that the guy with the cold, hard cash is always Mr. Right, according to Madonna.
That's not true. That is not true.
Sometimes the nice guy actually wins.
Yeah.
Well, Hardy continues with the theme of destruction in his interpretation of love and marriage. If you have your interpretation, that just means how you see things, how you explain something, how you represent something. If you look at reality in life and you write an article about it, that's your viewpoint. That is your interpretation.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, he gives his own interpretation of love and marriage. It says, indeed, he is not afraid to explore the darker side of romance in his novels. If you explore something here, it just means you take a look at it by writing about it and talking about it in order to learn more about it. So he wants to write more about it just to, you know, gain a different perspective about it, perhaps. The darker side of romance means kind of the sad things and also the things where people do, where they commit crimes because they love someone too much. They're obsessed with someone, like killing somebody because they love your husband or wife. That's the darker side of romance. Now, this is portrayed when Boldwood's desire causes his descent into madness and imprisonment. If a writer portrays something in a book, he depicts it by writing about it. So he's representing Boldwood and his troubles and his obsession with Bathsheba in his book. He wants to take a look at it. If you descend to a place, it means you go from a high level to a low level. We descend when we're coming into the airport to land. His descent is the past tense, of course. He kind of went from being sane, which is not crazy, to insane. Mm. So he descends into madness. We typically will talk about someone descending into madness. And then he was imprisoned, which means he was thrown in jail or thrown in prison. And if you're thrown in prison, you're imprisoned, and the noun is imprisonment.
Indeed, and descent here is the noun form. Descend is the verb. Like, the plane has begun its descent into Dulles International Airport.
Please fasten your seatbelts.
Indeed, yes. And there are some more themes here that we're going to continue talking about, the dark side of romance, but stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天我们要来看的就是 Thomas Hardy, Far From the Madding Crowd, 他的小说里面所要描绘的三个重要的主题。第一个重要的主题呢，在第一句的后半句提到，他主要描述的是 the demise of agrarian society in England during the Industrial Revolution.所要描述的就是在工业革命时期看到的英国农业社会的消亡，而在这里的 demise 也就是有死亡跟终止的意思。第一个要看到的角色呢， Gabriel Oak, a character who deeply loves the land and animals that he tends to, represents mankind's connection to the natural world.在里面看到的这个牧羊人 Gabriel, 他其实非常喜爱土地跟动物，而这些都是他照料管理的。我们在英文里面就可以使用 tend to。其实 tend to 除了有照料管理的意思之外呢，还常用在倾向于怎么样的意思。举个例子来说， modern camera design tends to simplicity。指的就是现代的照相机设计是越来越趋于简单化了。而他这样的角色 represents 代替的就是人类呢对整个自然世界的一个 connection 连接。在第一段的最后两句提到 Gabriel on the other hand races to save Bathsheba's crops from the torrents 在剧情里面提到了 Gabriel 他火速的去抢救这些作物，免于受到大雨之灾。Torrent 指的就是洪流或者是大雨的意思。如果雨下得很大，你就可以说 The rain fell in torrents， 也就是有大雨如注的意思。也正因如此呢，他这种爱护土地胜过一切的决心才会在最后得到了报偿。我们来看一下这一句， It's this resolution to care for the land above all else that is rewarded in the end。 有没有看到了 It is 点点点 that 这样子的强调句型呢？正是因为这样子的 resolution 决心要来爱护这个土地胜于 above all else 胜于其他的一切，所以他到最后就获得了回报。这里的 reward 就是有报酬奖赏的意思。第二段的第一句提到 Hardy continues with the theme of destruction in his interpretation of love and marriage。 第二段里面提到的第二个主题当然就是他对于爱情跟婚姻的诠释。这里的 interpretation 也就是有诠释跟解释的意思。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Welcome back from our break, everybody. We're going to continue talking about Thomas Hardy's Far From the Madding Crowd. And remember, we're now talking about the darker side of romance. So we've got Boldwood. He descends into madness. He is imprisoned. And then also we talk about when Troy, remember the soldier, Francis
yeah.
Troy, he betrays his lover to pursue Bathsheba's money. He just wants the money, so he's no good either. He's a bad apple. And finally, we talk about the time when Bathsheba refuses to marry anyone she doesn't feel passion for. So maybe here, she's just being too picky here.
You think?
Yeah, there's a nice guy there waiting for her, but she keeps saying, no, you're not good enough. I don't have a passion for you.
Well,
passion, of course, is just a strong feeling for something.
Yeah, but what if you don't fall in love for a while? I want her to find someone she really loves. You don't want to just settle for anybody. So I kind of understand that, but she shouldn't be flirting with everybody like that. That's
yeah.
not fair to those poor men and their broken hearts. Well, she refuses, like Tom says, to marry anyone she doesn't feel passion for. Strong love is passion. The destructive tendencies of these three characters expose or show, that's another word just for show, the fickle nature of romantic love. If something's fickle, it means you just can't ever count on it. You know, it changes. One day it might be this way, and the next day it's another way. You could talk about someone's affection being fickle or their love being fickle. Maybe you have a boyfriend and he says, oh, I love you today, but tomorrow he goes, yeah, I don't know. I think I might want to date someone else.
That was then, but this is now. Sorry, baby, hit the road. But in any case here, fickle, yes, means they're changing their minds all the time. And yes, romantic love changes all the time. Sometimes it's fun and sweet and you're out having a picnic together and the birds are singing and you're so much in love. And the next day, you're having a big argument
yeah.
about which pillows to use on the sofa. Well, of course, the fickle nature of romance was often a taboo topic in Hardy's reserved society. So if something is taboo, that means it's kind of controversial and you can't really talk about it. That's what basically what taboo mostly requires is that
yeah.
it's just something you can't talk about. It's just taboo. It's too controversial.
Or something you can't do.
Mm.
You know, we have a lot of things that are taboo in our own cultures. I know in Thailand, you can't show someone the bottom of your foot. So you have to be sure and keep your feet down on the ground. That's taboo. You just have to know people's cultures.
It's taboo here to give somebody a clock as a present.
That's right.
That's taboo as well.
Yeah.
And, of course, a reserved society means, yeah, they're not really willing to be open about things.
Yeah.
You just don't talk about these things in public.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the natural progression of life makes up the third theme in this book. So we've talked about the first two themes. Here's theme number three, the natural progression of life. If something progresses, it just moves forward. All of our lives progress, right? And if something is made up, it means it's part of what the third theme is. It composes the third theme. Now, there's this guy named Darwin, who was a famous scientist who said we were all evolved from apes. And his notion that evolutionary chance influences life more than the hand of God or God's influence is really highly prevalent, or you can see this to a large extent in Hardy's characters. So Darwin, his notion, is another word for idea or thought. So if someone has a notion, they have an idea, usually. Evolution or evolutionary refers to how things evolve and change over time. And he thought, hey, you know what? Life is more made up of chance, you know, kind of luck, good luck, bad luck, than it is of God's divine intervention or God having an influence in our lives.
Indeed. And, of course, this was quite controversial because up to that time, pretty much everyone believed that what the world was created in just 2 days and there's no such thing as evolution.
Well, I just think people believed in God. Thomas Hardy really didn't believe in God.
Yes, I guess technically he's an atheist or
kinda.
Agnostic
yeah.
or whatever. But in any case, yes, evolution is talking about, say, human beings and apes sharing a common ancestor, not necessarily evolving from apes. But again, this is kind of controversial. The progression of life, it's maybe more to chance than God kind of coming in and saving us when we get in difficult situations. So yes, prevalent here just means common, or you can see it pretty often. Now take for instance, or for example, Bathsheba's cruel prank on Boldwood, or the job she offers to Gabriel when he needs it the most. Okay, so these are some examples. He pulls, or she pulls a prank on Boldwood, just trying to play with his mind. And then later on, she offers a job to Gabriel when he's destitute. He's lost all his sheep, and she says, well,
yeah.
You can be my shepherd. I'll give you a job.
Lucky, lucky Gabriel. Well, he showed up at the right time, didn't he? So yep. He was really lucky. And of course, Bathsheba had pulled that cruel prank on Boldwood, telling him when she'd write him notes, she'd say, marry me, you know. And then she would say, ha, 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 I'm really kidding. So she does offer that job to Gabriel when he is needing it most. And she also seems to make her decisions of her own free will. Your own free will describes your ability just to do whatever you want. You're not listening to anybody's advice or opinions. You just do what feels good inside you. I'm going to make my own decision of my own free will. We'll often hear teenagers say this because they want to have their own free will. They don't want to be told what to do. There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason as to how the events develop. That's a very famous phrase we say. If someone says, wow, why did this happen? There's no rhyme or reason. Nothing makes sense, right?
But it just happened.
Just
it's
happened.
All by chance,
yeah.
Right? So that's kind of the theme here. Things happening by chance. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It just happens. And they progress as chance allows. So there's not really any big overall plan from some superpower. Things are just happening as they happen. And Hardy's characters and in his mind, mankind are thus inevitably linked to chance rather than God's divine intervention. So in Hardy's characters and in his own mind, Hardy believed this himself, mankind or human beings are inevitably, in the end, they are linked to chance. Everything happens by chance. There's no divine plan from God, as a lot of people believed at that time, and actually still believe today, to this day. And yes, he thought that was more had to do with chance and not so much God's divine divine intervention. Divine, that usually refers to something having to do with God, right?
Uh-huh, yeah. Holy, God. Having to do with God.
Any
yes.
God, right? So the Christian God or the Muslim God could all mean divine.
That's right. Well, intervention is when you come and get in the middle of something. Sometimes when I see two little kids fighting, I'll then see a parent intervene. If you intervene, you go stand in the middle of them and you say, hey, stop it. So intervention is when somebody gets in the middle of something to find a solution or do something to prevent a particular outcome. We're going to talk more about Actually, we're not going to talk more about that.
We've talked enough already.
Our Chinese teacher is. So we're going to listen now, and then we'll be back to say goodbye.
在这里我们看到了除了 Bathsheba, 还有 Mr. Boltwood, 以及 Troy, 三个人之间的角色,他的倾向。在第二段的最后一句提到 The destructive tendencies of these three characters expose the fickle nature of romantic love, which was often a taboo topic in Hardy's reserved society.这三个角色呢，它有一些毁灭性的倾向。还记得刚刚我们讲到动词 tend to do something， 也就是倾向于怎么样，而名词 tendency 也就是有怎么样子的倾向。这三个角色都有毁灭性的倾向，就 expose 暴露出呢，这种浪漫爱情它有一种非常无常的本质， the fickle nature of romantic love。而正因如此嘛，其实呢，这所谓的 romantic love 这样子的一个本质，在当时这么保守的社会是一个 taboo topic， 是一个禁忌的主题。reserved 在这里呢，当作形容词是有拘束的意思。如果我们说 Anne is reserved in speech， 代表着就是 Anne 她不太爱说话。第三个要强调的主题在第三段的第一句写着 The natural progression of life makes up the third theme。 第三个主题提到的呢，就是生命的自然发展。 Progression 指的就是前进跟进行的意思。如果讲到事件呢，一连续相继的发生，我们就可以说 A progression of events。A make up 就是有组成的意思。接着我们来看一下这一段的最后一句 Hardy's characters and in his mind mankind are thus inevitably linked to chance rather than God's divine intervention。其实从 Hardy 的想法里面你可以看得出来，他的角色他的 characters 跟人类呢，其实都不可避免的，我们又看到的这个副词 inevitably 都跟 chance 有所连结，这里的 chance 解释成为机运的意思，而不是呢上帝神圣的介入。 intervention 在这里当作名词是有干涉跟介入的意思。以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
That is it for today. We thank you so much for joining us, and we wish you good luck if you choose to read Far From the Madding Crowd yourself. It should be quite a challenge, so don't feel disappointed if you don't understand everything. From all of us here at English Digest, my name is Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.